Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to start, though, with a little bit more Pirates, because there is one thing we didn't really do yesterday on the show because it broke, I think, Don, pretty late in the program. We kind of treated it as like a curiosity almost. We had been tipped off by Dan Zangrilli that some stuff in this realm could be happening, and happen it did, and that is Oscar Marin gone. Brent Strom either gone of his own volition or just gone broadly because his contract might have been up. And Mike Rabello, third base coach, gone from the Pirates. So there was house cleaning a little bit, if that's what people wanted to see. A bunch of coaches got fired. The problem is, to start today's show, the guys that you would think were the most responsible for the one good thing about the Pirates this past year, their very, very good, objectively very good pitching staff, were the guys kicked out the door. And I would argue that so much of whatever is going to happen this offseason, so much of what people wanted to see, were moves that suggested that adults were in the room making adult decisions and charting a course that at bare minimum made it appear as if the people who make the decisions understood that certain things needed to be done. Like, hey, you want to see the Pirates jump in and make some moves. You want to see action on their part. You want it to be the right action. So I would argue that if firing Ben Cherington was going to be something that people wanted to see, not just because it would mean a new GM, but because it would signal that what he did was unacceptable, parting ways on one, you know, term or another, for one reason or another, with the only guys who were doing what I would call pretty good work for the Pirates, does not suggest to me, regardless of the rationale, does not suggest to me that good things are afoot. You can speculate, does Paul Skenes have anything to do with this? Are they catering to their best pitcher and the best pitcher in baseball? Maybe. That's not the worst idea in the world, but it doesn't always work. There is going to be pressure, and I would think a lot of it, on the next guy who's in Oscar Marin's chair, because it wasn't just like Paul Skenes was great. Other players came up who were on innings counts. Young pitchers came up and did well. It's going to be a big task for whoever takes that job next to actually improve upon what was a very good staff this year. And here's the thing that I think is most unpalatable, has me once again wondering, what is the plan there? What are the people in charge? What are they like actually getting at here? There's one part of all this, these moves that were made, there's one thing that wasn't done that has me scratching my head. As of right now, as we sit here talking, the hit collector himself, Matt Haig, Pirates hitting coach, the guy who was supposed to fix what Andy Haynes broke only to break it even worse. Hey, I can fix it. And you set a blowtorch to it. Still employed. And so an offseason that just got started, that is, I think, at least in significant measure, in some measure, if you want to say, going to be defined by how much do the Pirates make maneuvers that create the impression of a serious front office that understands the gravity of its situation, the, wait for it, urgency of its situation, and the need to make changes. An offseason that's going to be defined, I think, by a lot of that and how we evaluate whatever moves they make under that rubric get started with guys who did, I would think objectively, subjectively, a good job no longer being here. Guy who did, just for argument's sake, let's say a hitting coach can't turn chicken bleep into chicken salad all the time, but maybe can turn it into something a little more palatable. That guy's still employed. Guy who objectively and subjectively did the worst job in 25 years with this in his post, still here for now. I think I saw like Mackey or somebody tweet something to the effect that discussions are ongoing with Matt Haig. Aren't the discussions pretty simple? Hey, Matt, didn't do a very good job. All those guys sucked. Spencer Horwitz was okay. Tommy Pham was cool for a while once we got his eyes fixed. Everything else stunk, though, Matt. What would you say you do here, Matt? Hasn't happened yet. And so I am left starting today's show that way, scratching my head, because we were led to believe, I would think, by yesterday's, or by the comments from Travis Williams, by the comments from Ben Cherington, that they were very serious about improving this team. Williams straight up said that they were going to be better in 2026. Cherington said, and this was more player focused, we're going to have to take some, you know, bets, make bets on unproven players. Well, they're making a bet that they're going to find a better pitching coach than they just had. And I am not here to open the show with a 3-hour filibuster or whatever on the importance of pitching coaches. I think good ones are really good, can be really good. I think bad ones can be really bad, but I think the majority fall in the mushy middle. The guarantee that we're going to get better means we're going to find somebody better than the guy who was pretty good at his job. The bets that they're going to make on unproven players might end up being made on an unproven pitching coach. And right now, the hitting coach, he's good. Hello to the YouTube chat on today's show, as they are already chiming in with great aplomb. Don, I don't know. I'll toss it over to you here just to get the day started and get things rolling. And you can always hit us up on the fan text line, 412-928-9370. Also give us a call, 412-928-9370. It's all brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We didn't really react to it a ton yesterday. I don't want to make it seem like it's the single biggest deal ever. But when I juxtapose Marine getting let go or his contract expiring, Brent Strom, who I think he's up there in years, he is, but he was given a lot of the credit, I would argue, for some of the little turnarounds that certain players had, or guys getting their feet wet in the major leagues and doing a good job of it. Those guys being gone now, while the guy who I think everyone kind of forgot about because their anger was so tuned towards the GM, the owner, the manager, until Don Kelly took over, that guy, Matt Haig, being still here, kind of like, what are we doing here?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think when it comes to the pitching, it is hard to justify, like, okay, why are we moving on from a unit that was seventh in the league in ERA? They led baseball in shutouts. Yeah, they're led by a guy who probably doesn't need a ton of coaching, doesn't need a whole lot of fine-tuning.
Other guys weren't sure things, though.
Right, you know? Right. And they did have at least a handful of young guys come up here. Were they all absolute 100% success stories? No, but I think a handful of them at least were better than expected. I don't think many thought Braxton Ashcraft would have the season he did. I don't think many thought Mike Burrows would have the season he did. You saw those two guys and thought, they would be more short time stint. Who knows if they would even stay on the big league roster?
You thought they'd probably have growing pains, didn't you? You thought there'd be, for some of these younger pitchers who are not that experienced in their mid-20s, I think there was reason to believe that you were going to have growing pains.
We got Bubba Chandler up here late in the year, and really beyond that one blow-up start he had against Milwaukee, we saw a lot of good in his game. And, you know, really the handling of him when it came to when he got his promotion, that to me would have nothing to do with the team's pitching coach.
The last three starts Bubba Chandler made, he pitched a total of 16 and two-thirds innings and gave up 2 earned runs. Pretty good.
Isaac Mattson was a good story in the Pirates' bullpen. Dennis Santana was great pretty much the entire season.
To whatever degree you want to chalk this up, they fixed David Bednar. Like, the major league pitching coach still has, like, is still keeping tabs on him when he goes down to the minors, and I'm sitting here saying, maybe time to send David Bednar to the glue factory. Did you hold on to him too long? He comes back up and he's really good. I give the player the majority of the credit, which I do in most of these cases. The pitching coach isn't just sitting there idly by going, well, good luck in Indy. Hope you can figure it out here, bud.
Yeah, and not everything was perfect. And I do think people point to that like, well, Bednar needed fixed in AAA, or what happened the last couple of years with guys like Quinn Priest, who are now one of the better pitchers on the best team in baseball, Quinn Priest. Like, that's one I think people have hold-ups with. But, I mean, all in all, it's hard to be upset about the job that was done. The only thing that would make sense is if Paul Skenes and a few others were not huge on Marine's coaching.
I've got to believe that Skenes gets consulted on something like this. I mean, that's not to rip Skenes. He kind of has earned the right already through 2 years. If he feels like maybe there was stuff that was left, stones left unturned, that there was performance levels that hadn't been checked yet, boxes that hadn't been checked, levels that hadn't been reached, that's fine. I don't want to sit here and make this out to be the biggest deal ever, but like, let me put it this way. It would make a lot more sense if one of the little bones you were going to throw to your fans, and there haven't been any, because like Charrington getting fired was the big one that they could have done, and they did not. They extended Don Kelly and did the old look over here, not over there, while they told everybody that Charrington was coming back, Dom. The other things that you could do are like to fire coaches like this or to let contracts run out. And it only really makes sense as a peace offering to your fans or a sign internally that we're not going to put up with X, Y, or Z if it's Matt Haig getting 1 year on the job and then being done. I mean, what is the argument for keeping him? They were a historically bad offense. I went over it yesterday. I think 13 teams since the year 2000 had fewer runs in a season than the Pirates in a whole season of baseball. 13 times a team in 25 years did this. Did it worse.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to really justify why he should get to stick around. I mean, and really, I think the only thing playing for him is, well, it was just 1 year. It was just 1 year, and things... imagine if things wouldn't get better, too. Like, imagine if we go into 2026 and it doesn't get any better. I'm not going to say that it will happen, but I don't know how you're not concerned, because outside of a few players... Everybody, and I had Noah Hyles on yesterday. He did like a whole media tour.
Congratulations on all Noah's success. He made the big announcement that he is moving to a new role with the Post-Gazette. He's going to be kind of storytelling. And my little news hound nose says he's sniffing eventually, maybe a year or two down the road, columnist Noah Hyles filling the shoes of a Ron Cook or somebody like that. Gene Collier, stalwarts, the Noah Constrictor. He, by the way, on his way out the door, man, did he do some Pirates coverage for them.
Woo! Oh,
This last week, you want to talk about going out on a high note with a fireworks display. My God.
He left no stone unturned. But he pointed out yesterday to me, outside of Spencer Horwitz, who played in 108 games, it wasn't like he barely played. Outside of Spencer Horwitz, the Pirates had below average offensive players at every single position on the field. Every single one outside of him.
They do OPS plus, which I know we talk about on this show, is just above 100 means you're better than average. Below 100 means you're not. You're worse than average. He had a 118. There's not another player, not even a guy who, like, I'm checking this to make sure. I don't even think it's guys who wouldn't qualify because they didn't have enough appearances, Donnie. Not one guy over 100 or at 100. Reynolds at 99, he had a horrible year. We can call it what it is, although he did hit 245 and I needed him to hit 243. McCutchen had maybe his worst year as a pro, you could argue. Joey Bart stunk. Like, you're left going, well, what did Matt Hague produce here? Nothing. He didn't fix a guy like Jack Sawinski in the time he had him. Ke'Bryan Hayes, I think it's an indictment. I know he went to a much friendlier hitter park. His OPS with the Reds is about 100 points higher. That makes him a mediocre offensive player still, but it takes him a lot higher than probably the worst everyday player offensively in all of baseball. Like, it just, there's nothing on the resume that suggests this guy deserved to be here. So I just wanted to get that off my chest because I think as sort of a coda to a lot of this Pirates news and notes stuff that's been happening over the last day plus, the fact that they let go of the coaches for one reason or another that did the best job in the organization this year and as of right now have retained the one guy who most directly worked with the worst part of this team, that does not have me imbued with optimism that better things are afoot, that better decisions are going to be made in 2026.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.